Today is the fifth day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we continue our journey forward. And so yesterday we concluded the book of 2 Kings. And so we had moved through the books of Samuel and the books of Kings, ending up with no kingdom left. The northern kingdom of Israel had been carried away into exile by the Assyrian Empire, and then the kingdom of Judah in the south was carried away into exile by the Babylonian Empire, resulting in the destruction of Jerusalem, including the destruction of the temple of the Most High God. Now we are about to turn the page and open the book of 1 Chronicles. And obviously there is a 2 Chronicles following that. And we'll be covering a lot of the same territory. So it's almost like, haven't we already heard this story? Didn't we already go through this territory? And the answer would be yes. We're going back through this territory from a different perspective and time. Chronicles looks at the same history through the eyes of the priests. So as we just said, we finished the books of Kings yesterday, and Judah was exiled to Babylon, and 1 and 2 Chronicles were written from this exile. And we're not sure who was the author or who collected the Chronicles together. There is Jewish tradition that suggests that the scribe and priest Ezra was involved. And even though there isn't total consensus among biblical scholars, which is not a surprise, the books were probably written about 4 centuries before the time of Jesus, which would make them contemporary with Ezra. And as we begin, we have the first 9 chapters that will cover a lot of genealogy. It's that part of the Bible where we have all these hard-pronounced names and they're long lists, and we're like, what is going on? And I don't even know how to pronounce these names, and why are these people's names in the Bible, and what is the purpose of this? Once we understand the purpose of this, we find a pretty moving story. We just have to think about exile, just the concept in and of itself. Imagine you, well, let's just use Jerusalem. Imagine you lived in Jerusalem, and you were there under the siege, and you saw the slow erosion, and you saw eventually that a tipping point had been reached and the city would eventually be conquered, and then it was. And lots of people were killed, people that you knew, even family members that you knew. And there are some people that maybe are in your family or in your friend group that you can't find, you don't know what happened to them. And then all of a sudden you're starting to be rounded up like cattle and shipped off to some other place where you have to march to another land and you have to go somewhere else. And people are just being arbitrarily divided up into groups. And so families are being split up and going in different directions and never will see each other again. Imagine that if you're a parent watching a child disappear or a sibling disappear or even your spouse going somewhere else, being carried away into an unknown land where unknown things are going to happen. These names, these genealogies that we wrestle with, they were knit together so that the people would remember where they came from and who they were. And every one of those names has a story of life and loss in it. The books of Chronicles were written to remind the children of Israel who they were and where they came from and who God is. And I often tell this story when we reach this point in the Bible because it's a story that kind of snapped this into place for me. And we know about World War II, and we know that the Jewish people faced more displacement. And we can visit Holocaust museums throughout the world where some of the atrocities took place. I personally, several years ago, was in Africa, was in the country of Rwanda. And Rwanda had experienced a genocide back in the 90s, a pretty brutal genocide where 1 million people died over tribal warfare over the course of a summer. And so they too have museums and memorials throughout their country in some very, very remote places. It's really sad how all of that happened. But they also have a national memorial in Kigali, in their in the nation's capital. And I visited that. Jill and I visited that one year and went through the site. It's really hard. I mean, so many of the skeletons, so many of the bones of the people that were killed are preserved and displayed and can be seen in the clothing that they were wearing and maybe what they were carrying when they died. And then you go into a very, very quiet round room. Many places are like this, a very reverent room. It's darkly lit. And from the floor to the ceiling, and it's probably 25 feet tall, are pictures hung from floor to ceiling of people who had died. And you can sort of sit in that room and just be surrounded by all of these faces, all of these lives, all of these people who had relationships and loved others and had a life that was taken from them. And you sit in there and it's quiet and there's a soft voice, a female voice, and she's saying the names and it doesn't stop. She's just saying the names of the people that were lost. You might think of it as if she were reciting the genealogies that were lost. We can't understate the impact of the exiles and the destruction of ancient Israel, biblical Israel as we knew it. And the books of Chronicles open by giving us the chance to say the names. And so with that, we begin. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 17. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiraz. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Diphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, and Kittim, and the Rodanim. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Reama, and Sabtika. The sons of Reama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush became the father of Nimrod. Nimrod was the first to be a mighty warrior on the earth. Mitzrayim became the father of Ludim, the Anamim, the Lehabim, the Naphtuhim, the Pathrusim, the Castluhim, from whom the Philistines came, and the Kaphtorim. Canaan became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of Heth, also of the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gather, and Meshech. Arpachshad became the father of Shelah, and Shelah became the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. The name of one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided. His brother's name was Joktan. Joktan became the father of Almadad, Sheleth, Hazarmaveth, Jira, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Ebo, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Ru, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram, also called Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogies. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebaioth. Then came Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine. She gave birth to Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaiah. All these were the descendants of Keturah. Abraham became the father of Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jush, Jalam, and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zephi, Gitam, Kenaz, and Amalek by Timnah. The sons of Reuel were Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mitzah. The sons of Seir were Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishon, Azer, and Dishan. The sons of Lotan were Hori and Homam. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal were Alion, Manaath, Ebal, Shephi, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon were Aya and Anna. The son of Anna was Dishon. The sons of Dishon were Hamran, Eshban, Ithran, and Kiran. The sons of Azer were Bilhan, Zeavan, and Jaakan. The sons of Dishan were Uz and Aran. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the people of Israel. Bela, son of Beor. The name of his city was Dinhabah. Bela died, and Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozrah, reigned as king in his place. Jobab died, and Husham from the land of the Temanites reigned as king in his place. Husham died, and Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the territory of Moab, reigned as king in his place. The name of his city was Avith. Hadad died, and Samla from Masrekah reigned as king in his place. Samla died, and Shaul from Rehoboth by the river reigned as king in his place. Shaul died, and Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, reigned as king in his place. Baal-Hanan died, and Hadad reigned as king in his place. The name of his city was Pi, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. Then Hadad died. The chiefs of Edom were Chief Timnah, Chief Aliah, Chief Jetheth, Chief Aholibama, Chief Elah, Chief Pinon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Timon, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdiel, and Chief Aram. These are the chiefs of Edom. These are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The sons of Judah were Onan, and Shelah. Those three were born to him by Shua's daughter, a Canaanite woman. Who was Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so he killed him. Tamar, Judah's daughter-in-law, gave birth to Perez and Zerah for him. Judah had a total of 5 sons. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Kalkol, and Dara, 5 of them in all. The son of Carmi was Achar, the troubler of Israel, who was unfaithful when he stole things that had been devoted to destruction. The son of Ethan was Azariah. The sons of Hezron, who were born to him, were Jeremiel, Ram, and Kelubai. Ram became the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab became the father of Nashon, the tribal leader of the people of Judah. Nashon became the father of Salma, and Salma became the father of Boaz. Boaz became the father of Obed, and Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse became the father of his firstborn Eliab, Abinadab his second, Shimeah his third, Nethanel his fourth, Redai his fifth, Ozem his sixth, and David his seventh. Their sisters were Zariah and Abigail. The three sons of Zariah were Abishai, Joab, and Asael. Abigail gave birth to Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. Acts 23:11-35. The following night, the Lord stood next to Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have solemnly testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." When day came, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath, saying that they would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who took part in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a solemn oath not to taste anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin file charges with the commander so that he will bring him down to you as if you were going to make a more thorough examination of his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets close to this place." But when the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander, because he has something to report to him." So he brought him to the commander and said, "The prisoner Paul called for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took him by the hand, led him aside, and asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the Sanhedrin tomorrow as if they want to gain more accurate information about him. Don't let them persuade you, because more than 40 of their men are waiting in ambush for him. They have bound themselves under a solemn oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready right now, waiting for your consent." So the commander dismissed the young man with this order: "Don't tell anyone that you have reported these things to me." Then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready, along with 70 cavalry and 200 spearmen, to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts so that they can put Paul on one and bring him safely to Felix, the governor." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency, Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came with the soldiers and rescued him, because I learned that he is a Roman citizen. Since I wanted to know the charge they were bringing against him, I brought him down to their Sanhedrin. I found he was being accused concerning questions of their law, but there was no charge that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there would be a plot against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to state what they have against him before you. Farewell." So the soldiers, according to their orders, took Paul and brought him to Antipatris during the night. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry came to Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor, and they handed Paul over to him. After the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was from. When he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive." Then he ordered that Paul should be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Psalm 3. How many are my foes, but you are my shield. a psalm by David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how my foes are multiplying. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying about my life, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. With a loud voice I cry out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and I sleep. I awake because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of the thousands of people who line up against me on all sides. Rise up, O Lord. Save me, my God. Yes, you will strike all my enemies on the jaw. The teeth of the wicked you will break. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing rests on your people. Proverbs 18, 14, and 15. A man's spirit can endure illness, but who can bear a broken spirit? A discerning heart acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek knowledge. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this new territory that we are moving into as we move into the books of Chronicles. And as we read the names, and as we refamiliarize ourselves with the story, we see a story of back and forth, of ebb and flow, of returning to you and watching you shower graciousness and protection on your people, only for them to abandon you again and walk away, which ultimately leads to destruction. May we see this pattern in the scriptures. May we see this pattern as it materializes in our lives and learn the lesson. The safest place we can possibly be is in your presence, and you have not withdrawn from us. We are in your presence. Make us aware. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. It is where you find out what is going on around here. We have plenty of things going on around here right now. So we celebrated Jill's birthday on the 4th of July yesterday, and now we are looking forward to this Friday, which is our Daily Audio Bible community holiday. And we call the Daily Audio Bible Long Walk. And that's self-explanatory enough. That's what it is. But this is the day that we recognize that we're in the center of the year. We recognize that it has taken a significant amount of energy and effort and discernment to get here to the center of the year. We realize that we have had our victories and our defeats, our mountain heights and our deep valleys, and now we are here. And so we are looking at the second half of the year. And this is a time to regroup and go for a long walk and say everything that needs to be said. And listen. Listen to anything that God might be whispering back about what the second half of this year is to look like, so that we get reoriented as we are on this journey. And so go somewhere beautiful. Go somewhere and enjoy a day in creation with the slow rhythms of love, the slow rhythms of just being with God. There's no objective. There aren't a certain amount of minutes of intercession that are necessary. Just be. And if you think you're not talking enough, maybe you're talking the right amount. Maybe more listening, maybe more silence, maybe more listening to all the life that is happening all around us in the rhythms of nature. So, that's Friday. I can't hardly wait. I'm looking forward to that. There are a couple of resources that pair so well with The Long Walk. They're musical resources that you can download or stream. The first one is Hearts, A Contemplative Journey. And the second one is Sleep, A Contemplative Journey. And these projects create atmosphere. Just a non-intrusive kind of atmosphere out in nature to focus our emotions and our intentions and our prayers. And so certainly look for those wherever it is that you get your music, like the iTunes store. And then also we have just released our snapback hats for the third quarter this year. Daily Audio Bible leather patched baseball caps. These are navy and white in the back. Beautiful, classy, perfect for summertime. You can check those out in the Daily Audio Bible shop in the lifestyle section. Those are in limited quantities, and so you can get those while you can, but they're in the lifestyle section, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around showing up for each other every day, if that is life-giving, then thank you humbly for your partnership as we navigate through these summer months. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's all for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is June in Maryland. I was calling in to comment on the young lady that called in. She said she was 26 years old and she moved to another state for career enhancement, and that she is in a healthy relationship, but she feels like she's going to destroy the relationship because of the financial things she's going through, and she feels like she has no way to self-isolate. And just food for thought, if you are in a healthy relationship, if that relationship is healthy, then you should be able to be vulnerable before that person and let them see you fall. They need to see how you handle the hard times and then how you recover from that. And you need to see how they respond to you in that hard time. Not necessarily that they need to do anything or give you money to help you out, but that how do they respond? Are they there for you? Are they emotionally there for you? Are they supportive? Are they praying with you through this time? Because a lot of us don't look at those things before getting into marriage. And then when we get into marriage, we don't know. We're surprised at how our partner responds. And then it tears the relationship down even further. So if you're in a healthy relationship and you're going through a hard time, that's okay. That's relationships. Every day is not going to be sunny. It's how we handle all the days together that makes the difference. So just food for thought in that department. Whatever you're going through, if that person is for you, then they will be able to be supportive. And if not, then it's better to find out now than before you are married or and have kids and have bills together and other things like that. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Love you all. Hope everybody has a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Good morning. This is Marilyn calling from New Hampshire on Friday, June 30th. Hello, my DAB family. I'm calling for a couple of reasons, a couple of prayer requests. One of them is for myself. I've struggled probably many of my years just trusting God in our finances. I'm always like trying to figure it out and control it and see what's in the account and see the bills that are coming up and just not trusting God fully, not really surrendering it to Him. And I'm tired of this. I don't want to live my life this way anymore. I want to trust God. I want to live a surrendered, free life in God. And my husband and I, we're both retired, so that's definitely a little bit of a strain. We're givers, we're tithers. We do all what the Bible says about, you know, you reap what you sow. And I know God wants to free me. I know He just wants to set me free, and I want that more than anything. I'm just really tired of living my life this way. I want to just expect God to just, I want to let Him take over. So I just would really appreciate prayer for me in that area of my life. And I also want to lift up a good friend of ours, a neighbor who accepted the Lord last night. His name is Ryan. We're really excited. He's an alcoholic and got a wonderful family. But I just pray for prayer and strength in his walk with the Lord and getting sober. And that he would just not lose his family. I know God's working in all of this. So thank you for your prayers for myself and for Ryan and his family and his sobriety and his walk with the Lord. Love you all. Thank you so much for your prayers. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey, Lawrence, this is Eyes of a Dove. Man, I've been trying not to make this call. Oh, man, I don't want to say it. You know, I'm on here a lot. I've been on here for like 15 or 16 years. You know what brought me here? The same thing that you're doing. I had a hard marriage with my three children's dad. He was a quiet person. He didn't want to engage. He was intimate with me one time a year. It was like living alone, and I became bitter and bitter and bitter. And my eyes and heart hardened towards him. And I went and had feelings for somebody else. And in that, I confessed it to him. But it hardened my heart, and it began. Even though he was into pornography, heavy, heavy, heavy pornography, it didn't give me a justification, right? Now it's been 17 years. My children still are so devastated and hurt over what they experienced when they were little and we had to divide. I had to go do construction and be a single mom and strive and take care of my kids. I regret every single day that in my bitterness, I turned my heart to someone else. Was bitter too. And I look back and I think that guy is not even attractive. It was a complete demonic, dark place. But at that time, it was so sweet. It was such a relief. Somebody was paying attention to me and I couldn't get them out of my mind. And I rebuke that spirit of temptation and lust in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you, please, Lawrence, run from it and run to God and your wife. You won't regret it. But if you don't, you will. I love you, friend.
Hi, DAB community. It's Morning Lift. I come before you today with a humble heart and broken and just very sad. My wife signed divorce papers on June 19th. I was served them today. June 19th is the day 4 years ago that my mom passed away. So it just seems like a very cold and heartless move. And it just robs me of any hope of marriage reconciliation, which is my true desire, and I know it's God's desire, and I pray for it daily, and I just don't know if it's going to happen. I don't see it happening. My friends in the church, my pastor, are all telling me to move on. My AA sponsor is telling me to move on, that this is out of my control, that I can't change her mind or her heart. And I know only God can do that. And I've been praying that God would soften her heart. I've been pleading with the Lord. And it just isn't happening. It doesn't seem to be happening. And now I have to defend against a lawsuit because she's suing me for everything I'm worth. And she wants permanent custody of the kids. And I'm a good father. I've always provided and taken care of their needs. And I have not wanted to hire a lawyer because I know as soon as you hire a lawyer, it just starts to become a nasty fight. And I don't want that. I have wanted to just just resolve this and to wait out the 12-month separation and then hopefully reconcile in that time. But family, please pray for me and my family and my wife to reconcile. In Jesus' name I pray. Time's up.